Please pray with me. Lord God, you are the one who goes with us through every day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are the one who guides us and teaches us and gives us such grace and mercy. Amen. As I was reading the scriptures for this day, it occurred to me not to talk about good and evil in the way I usually do. I wanted to get a different angle on it without sidestepping the issue or without getting lost within it. Like telling someone, talk about good and evil in 10 minutes and tell us everything. So I was trying to listen differently and then speak differently. So my prayer is that these thoughts will be of use to all of us as we consider the human situation and the Lord's direction for us in response. How then shall we talk about good and evil? Well, we could read the books of Ecclesiastes and of Job in the Hebrew Bible. Both of them wrestle with the question of why the evil prosper and the good suffer. And then in opposition to that view, we could read the book of Proverbs, which takes the point of view that if you act like a good person in life, you will be rewarded. Or we could construct a theology of law keeping, wherein the closer we get to obeying a certain list of sacred rules, then the closer we come to being made right with God. And the more we disobey, the more liable we are to punishment by God and perhaps by secular authorities. We could divide reality into simple good and evil, which are at war with one another for all time or until good triumphs, finally. We could deny the existence of evil and call it an illusion and seek to explain our experience of the world and of life in a different way. Many believe that we enter the world in original sin and therefore need a Savior, and others believe that we enter the world in original goodness and perhaps need a guide. Or we could narrow it down from here and talk about specific corporations who are trying to control the genetics of plants and animals in the world today. Or we could talk about Philip Garrido, the man who kidnapped J.C. Dugard and had 2 children by her over 18 years of captivity. On the other hand, we could cheer the reports of ordinary people who challenge corrupt institutions and deeply harmful policies, or who in a moment of crisis become heroes by rescuing people from drastic situations. But in the end, perhaps we would do best by looking within ourselves to see what is there that comes into the world through our own words and actions. For each of us is a microcosm of the whole created order. So let's try thinking of ourselves as containing an internal universe, a very large and complex reality that we cannot see, but is within us. And once we start exploring that universe, we begin to understand why it takes so long, a lifetime, to really understand ourselves, to examine our motivations, the reasons why we act and speak, and the reasons why we fail to act and speak. This isn't just accessing the knowledge we have about how to make a living or about various areas of interest or theology. This has to do primarily with how we have come to be us today, with all of the influences and events that have eventually become part of us, with the family we have grown up with our particular cultural and racial background. Along the way, we may come to understand why it takes a lifetime and more to become whom we are meant to become in the economy of God. This is work fit for those who are serious about their spiritual journey. Now, each of us could take a moment today and think about our biological family and how we learn about life from being a part of it. We learn how to be in the world, how to be in relationships with people who are like us and with people who are very different from us. We learn about responsibility and obligation and freedom. Perhaps we learn how to raise children or how not to raise children. We learn to prepare for the future or not. We learn what to eat and drink. We value certain things over others. We learn all of that. We are taught how to think about controversial issues such as politics, religious belief, sex, power, and money. And each of us carries so much deep within us that informs us on an unconscious level how to be in the world, not only in the normal day-by-day life, but also and especially when we are in crisis. Deep within us are thought and feeling messages about how to respond to people when we have a choice between seeking the best for them or seeking the best for ourselves. When we feel it necessary to protect ourselves from potential physical and emotional danger. What to do when we are put down or feel mistrusted by others because of our race or manner of dress, or when we're ignored or treated in a condescending manner, or seen only as a potential consumer of products. We learn how to respond when we are approached for money or food or help and assistance in general. We learn how to discern who can be trusted and who cannot. All of this is really hidden within us until we begin to question how we are in the world and whether we can choose to go beyond these almost instinctual reactions and make conscious choices that correspond more closely to what we say we believe about God and about the spiritual life. In his letter to the church of his day, the Apostle James dives deep into the relational messiness that happens when Christians of varied social strata learn what it means to truly love one another as one loves oneself. He speaks about behavior that denies the spirit and ministry of Jesus, who identified with the poor, the outcast, the lonely, the afraid, those who did not fit into the established boxes of society, the polite way of being in the world. But most of all, James' letter calls into question the authenticity of his listeners' faith. Not just their belief structure, but their very claim to be in relationship with the Lord. If they cannot find a way to be in redemptive relationship with their raggedly dressed brothers and sisters, then of what use is their gathering for worship? Of what use is their hard-won theology, their way of talking about God? Of what use is their claim to be in redemptive relationship with God? This is a question that is front and center for us. We live in a globalized world. We come into contact with and we see in the media stories about how people of different backgrounds, races, languages clash or get along. It's rising more and more to the surface. And so what James says, it forces us to examine our implicit acceptance, for example, of many current labor practices, especially the treatment of newcomers to this country, either legal or illegal. It forces us to deal with political and religious and social stereotypes, which we have learned over time, which we access instinctively in times of crisis, of confrontation. I'm continually reminded of how far we have to go to make room for everyone, especially in this most powerful and most varied nation on earth. I am continually reminded of my own personal need for my thoughts and feelings to be converted, to be regenerated, so that my core, my heart, becomes more and more open to the great variety of humanity that exists and that demands, deserves to be listened to and respected and learned from. Jesus' encounters with the Gentile woman and the deaf man are living parables. They are living parables of this expanding heart consciousness or awareness. In his conversation with the woman, Jesus apparently learns to further expand the limits of his own ability to accept other kinds of people who are not Jewish and not male. She symbolizes those who are not like us, and yet who experience the travails of life just as we do. She also symbolizes our own need, perhaps as those who do not deserve a large measure of compassion or friendship or justice in this world because of who we are. The Lord opened the ears of a deaf mute. That tells us that he is willing to heal us also, for we too are deaf. We too are deaf to the truths that enrich our lives. We too are unable to speak what is hidden deeply within us that needs to come out so that it may be healed. We need God to act on our behalf. We are, in a sense, that Syrophoenician woman, that person outside the pale of accepted, those who are acceptable. We need God to bring us out of the darkness of our instinctive thoughts and feelings, to open our hearts to the world, and free us to do love and justice in a very complex place. Swedenborg wrote, Man is inwardly possessed when he has filthy and scandalous thoughts about God and about the neighbor, and is withheld from making them known only by external bonds, which are fear of the loss of reputation, honor, gain, and fear of the law, and of loss of life. On the website of the Swedenborgian Church at Puget Sound, we find the words, "Who is Jesus?" Jesus was a real person who lived and taught a path we can follow to become whole. In this person, God entered completely into the human experience as the ultimate form of love and compassion. He knew birth, growth, pain, testing, and fulfillment. In Christ, we are given a comprehensible and knowable God. The second coming is an active process that is happening within us and within the whole world. As we increase compassion, integrity, understanding, and healing in our lives, we are helping God create a new heaven and a new earth. As we choose between giving and taking, loving and hating, right and wrong, we participate in the creation of our own spiritual character. This spiritual self or soul is who we really are, and this is what lives forever. This is Swedenborg paraphrased. No one is able to purify themselves from evil by their own power and ability. This purifying power flows from God alone. However, our transformation cannot be done without our commitment to do so as if we were doing it ourselves. God provides the appearance that we are the source of change so that we may spiritually grow. This appearance gives us the ownership necessary for our transformation, even though all transformational power flows from God. And he also wrote, the spiritual growth of a person happens slowly. Do I hear an amen? The seeds of the life of heaven are planted in a person in infancy and begin growing and continue to grow to the very end of life in this world and are perfected to eternity. May the seeds of the life of heaven that are planted in us grow in each one of us, from now till the end of our life here and into the next life. May it be so for us and for those we hate and for those we love. Amen.